and welcome back to another episode of the Takedown, a Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast where we focus on South Dakota State wrestling. Once again, I am joined by some co-hosts. New this year is Alex, and you all know Jordan, or as Coach Simas called him, J-Rock. I like that. I think I might have to stick with that, Jordan. Just want to say a shout out to Cubbies again for sponsoring this. Cubbies has been a great partner with our podcast, and thank you for your help there. And Kubota. Kubota has been our title sponsor all year. And if you don't drive an orange tractor, you have no reason not to. Go get yourself one. There's 9 locations in the great state of South Dakota, and they will help take care of you. Guys, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
I'm over here. I'm admiring the sales pitch. Orange, just could somebody drive an orange tractor around? I mean, it's not that hard, right? Just get out there, buy one, and drive it around. Hell yeah!
Cam, you should have heard Brendan's sales pitch. We were helping raise money for an organization called Alex's Lemonade Stand.
Oh, boy,
you know what that is?
No.
So it raises money to help people deal with the expenses dealing with childhood cancer.
Oh, wow. I mean, I love the cause, but Alex's Lemonade Stand came off childish, as it probably should.
Because it was started by a young gal, Alex, yeah, that had cancer. Anyway, so his pitch was, are you for kids with cancer? Then don't donate. If you're not for kids with cancer, then donate to Alex's Lemonade Stand.
Yeah, it's like, so, fair enough.
So similar pitch, you know. Speaking of Alex's, Alex, how you doing? You haven't had a chance to edge in here.
No, I've got smarter people than I in the room, so I'm trying to let them talk. I'm doing well tonight. Glad to see your guys' bright, shining faces. Weird to see Jordan on this end of it. Normally I'm seeing him at a racetrack, like his background, so, or at a duel sometimes, but excited to be part of it this year.
So are we going to have a Kenkel model for wrestling this year? That's what I want to know.
It would just be
gonna be,
it'd be just ripping it straight from WrestleStat, so we can go over WrestleStat numbers, but there's really nothing to doctor there. I'm not even sure how a lot of that works to behind their math, to be honest with you.
Can someone catch me up to speed on a Kenkel model?
So
it's like Black Scholes for pricing.
So these are like inside jokes from the football podcast. Go ahead, Alex.
So I just, something new, that's kind of how I got involved. My wife used to work with Matt, and then he and Dallas were looking to bring on some additional content this year on the blog side, and I've had this computer model I built to basically simulate games, and I've done that for a predictive model for how the Missouri Valley Conference standings are basically going to shake out. So that evolved into an extra article and podcast on our network here, and then Chad and I got to talking, and big wrestling guy too, so here I sit.
So Alex, like, I have to ask, how accurate was the Kenkel model this year?
Is he gonna ruin it for your next show?
Oh shoot, I mean, if it's hands off, it's hands off.
I don't know, I don't think we have anything planned for the end of the year, and I don't want to take too much of this, so we got an awesome guest. I want to stay on track, but I don't think we have anything planned for end of the year for Scared Money Don't Make Money, but Dallas and I will be coming at you with a little bit of a special edition for doing a little bit of a Missouri Valley recap here. And so, not to spoil too much, but as far as outcomes of money line win-loss, we were pretty spot on. I think it only got 10 total games of 120 semi conference games wrong.
Wow.
And then
so basically Alex is a nerd, but you should listen to what he has to say.
This is right up Cam's alley here.
So basically Alex needs to take this to Vegas, baby.
Well, you don't make much money betting money line, but spread we averaged within 2 points-ish. So pretty solid there too.
Congrats.
Thanks, I guess.
Well, Coach, you fit right in because you've derailed us, which is awesome. But how are you doing? Thanks for being on. We've wanted to have you on for a couple seasons, but haven't had a chance to really get you on. And that's not on you. Just like, we haven't bothered you, so to speak, because we know you're busy wrestling. And yeah, how's it going? How are you doing?
It's funny you mentioned that. I'm actually still here at the facility, right? And I had to go outside and tell some of our guys. Some of our guys come in whenever they want to. It's open 24/7. That's part of the beauty of having the Frank, right? And I was like, oh, hey, guys, listen, you know, it's about 5, 10 minutes to 8. Can you guys just turn down the radio just a little bit? Because I'm going to jump on a podcast real quick. And they're like, what? Nice. It's like, hey, man, that's part of the game, right? It's part of the game that if you're going to be a Division I wrestler, be willing to work out at any time of day or night, right? And we have some really committed kids. We have a super good culture right now, and we have a lot of people rowing in the same direction. So it's you ask, how am I doing? Well, and as any coach or coach's wife or coach's family will know, how we're doing is always how's the team doing, right? Are we having issues? Are we dealing with some off the mat stuff? Are we dealing with some issues within our team in terms of culture or individuals? And things are going okay, right? Things are going pretty dang well. So I'm doing well as a byproduct.
So you're telling me that since we're the first, or for the first time in history, we're ranked inside the top 10, there's not too many culture issues going on right now?
So when Coach came here, right, and he wasn't shy about it at all, and I believe, you know, every word of it, because I think it's true too. You know, he came here, what, 5 or 6 years ago. And when we got here, it was no surprise. no surprise to us anyway, because the year previous to us getting here, they had a lot of success, right? But then the coach, of course, the coach left and the assistant coach left, and a lot of guys graduated. Some guys went with the coach and yada, yada, yada. And we were kind of left with what remained, right? And we had some good pieces, but we had to build a new program. And at that time, we weren't great. But Coach had this idea in his mind, which is, listen, if we're going to have any success here at all, and this is so true, it's going to happen as a team. Right. It really, really, it has to happen as a team. Just a unique thing with SDSU, right, where we're at. And I think the culture fits this place really well. Right. There's some programs that it's all about, hey, we need to find 1, 2, or 3 guys, and we got to go all in on those guys. Hopefully they win a national title. Hopefully the other two are all Americans, you know, something like that. And that's just not how Coach wants to build a program. And that's just part of his personality. Right. He wants to build a top to bottom team. And it takes a long time to do that, right? And it takes a longer time to do it in a sustainable way, that you have new guys coming in and you have depth at weight classes. And we're finally getting to the point now where we do have some depth, right? If our first guy is not up to you know, he might be sick, he might be, you know, there's a myriad of reasons why a guy might not wrestle. And the next guy up is, dude, he's more than capable, which is really, really cool. And you mentioned being top first time in program history, being top 10 in the country. That's great, right? That's a really cool accomplishment for our guys to accomplish. I was talking with Clay, because it maybe came out today or yesterday or something along those lines. And I was talking with Clay and Sloan and Cook and that group of guys, because they were here. They were our very first class, and they literally built this program from the ground up, that class right there. And I think it's really a unique experience and extremely cool for those guys to go from where we were to where they are now. And hats off to them, because, hey, you can congratulate us as coaches or whatnot, but we all know, we're all guys. We've all played sports growing up. It's the kids. They do the work, right? They go out and compete. They deal with the pressure. They deal with the school. They come in and practice every single day. They're doing strength and conditioning workouts. They're going through it day in and day out. The grind is on them, right? And it's very different from the coaching side. So, man, I have to congratulate that class. And obviously the classes that came in after those guys, they did their part, right? But the momentum starts with that first group. It really does. And I'm really proud of them. It wasn't easy. It was definitely not easy, right? There was moments where it was extremely challenging, and you got to, hats off to them, right?
So I've got two questions I want to ask, but I'll save the other, because I bet one of the other guys are going to ask it.
Is it a mathematical model?
No, I'll give you a hint. I'm also an official, so I got okay. questions on some rules changes this year. But we'll get to that.
Let's talk about those rules changes, shall we?
So I guess we can come back to my other one then now. So obviously big rule change for NCAA this year, 3-point takedown. We'll obviously talk about it later, but we got a couple big home duels this weekend. Friday, get your free 3-finger. I've got a nice stall fist, a nice 2-finger in my garage. That 3-finger looked pretty good.
You got a number one?
I do not. You almost need the other hand to go with it, though.
Yeah.
But so has that changed how we're wrestling? I mean, does it change, you know, things like at choice, okay, maybe we're either, if we're behind, we're more likely to choose neutral because that takedown's worth more now. Or if we're ahead, maybe more likely, let's keep it up the mat on the mat. Let's just give up one if we're up. You know, how has that had any effect in how you guys are coaching in-match coaching decisions as well as just how you're coaching the guys? Obviously, you always want to score. You always want to be scoring takedowns. But it is Scholastic. It's not freestyle, so it's not just about takedowns. So I guess walk through how that's kind of changed. You get some strategy in the room this year.
Yeah. First off, it's a really good question, right? Because we had the same question this summer. Like, oh, that got passed. That's right. Interesting. Because I'll be honest with you, of all the rule, because they have to propose the rule. And then after the proposal situation, then it moves on and then they get voted on. Of all the rule proposals, I was most surprised that one got passed. Right, the 3-point takedown, because it's such a different, it changes the match in a lot of ways, like your question implies. In terms of what it's done for me, or for us as coaches, let me answer first. I was super incredulous. I wasn't sure I liked it at first. I have to be honest, it's growing on me. It honestly is growing on me. And let me give you why I was hesitant. I had apprehension because just because you make something worth more doesn't mean you're going to get more of that, right? The very opposite could have happened. Oh, it's worth 3? Whoa, I'm going to get 1 takedown and I'm going to stall out the match, right? Because now it's worth more, right? That doesn't seem to be happening at least yet, which is cool. In terms of its impact and why I'm liking it more and more is it does seem like it's incentivizing more action, especially on the feet. And number two, everything else is worth less, right? It's just a ratio terms, right? So it used to be takedowns 2, reversals 2, you know, stallings 1, escape is 1. When you bump up, you basically takedown is worth 50% more than it used to be, but everything else is the same. In terms of like, if I take you down, you reverse me and I get an escape, I'm up 4-2 now, which is wild, right? Because reversal is still 2 points. So it's you alluded to the freestyle piece of it. It seems like we're moving closer and closer to freestyle every year with slight changes. They want to see people wrestle on their feet, which I think is good because I think that's where most of the action is in college wrestling. The other thing that I really, really like that they made an adjustment this year is they're starting to hit guys on top for stalling. Because from a fan perspective, even me, like, okay, I'm a wrestling coach and our job is to make sure our guy wins, right? In a lot of ways. But even me, I'm a fan too. I don't want to watch boring wrestling. That's not what it is for me. So when I'm in the corner and I'll tell the guys, hey, you know, we're going to the Cliff Keen or we're going to one of these tournaments. Guys, your number one goal should at least entertain me, right? I don't want to be sitting in your corner and being bored at a college wrestling match. That's not what it's about. And when you dilute or like distill wrestling, it's entertainment. Football, it's entertainment. Basketball, it's entertainment, right? As wrestling people, we should understand it's a product and it's entertainment. Go out and be entertaining, right? So it really is a show. So those are the two things that I was interested to see how they're going to play out. I like the 3-point takedown. I really do. And it has made, if you're not as good on the bottom, it don't matter so much anymore. Go on your feet and go get a takedown. If, you know, riding and turning is a little less important, stallings are way less important. Yeah, get hit for stalling a couple times. It's only a point, right? You get warned and then you give up one.
You give one?
Yeah. So it's changed a lot of ways. The other thing I really, really liked is the stalling on top. I don't want to watch somebody just ride somebody. I don't think that's that fun. I don't think it's that cool. I don't think it's that entertaining for the fans' perspective in general. So let's penalize it. And I'm glad they are.
That's I'll let Chad get his question, but that's one comment on that. There's a guy who's been official South Dakota a long time here. He lives in Brookings too, and name's Greg Roach, if anyone's familiar.
I was gonna say, why do you gotta talk about Roach without saying his name?
I know Greg. Good guy.
No, yeah, that's people give Greg grief for being a little quick with the fist sometimes. So that's Greg and I were talking at Cubbies at the region meeting over a beer this year, and Greg, someone brought that up, and Greg goes, darn it, you know what? He goes, if it's boring for me, it's boring for the fans. Let's get those guys moving.
I'm okay with it. I really am. Those are there was like 13 things that got passed. Most of them aren't really that big of a deal.
They don't affect anything.
The 3-point takedown was good. The stalling on top was good. I'm impartial on, all right, like they had a 2-point, now they have a 3-point and a 4-point near fall. So they added the 3-point near fall. I'm okay with it. I was a little bit nervous about that because I thought we'd get more bricks challenging. Was it 2? Was it 3?
Right.
You know, because of the quick. But refs are doing a really good job of being very deliberate and slow with their count now, which there hasn't really been that many issues. Here's one thing that I if I was a coach and I could kind of push forward, we need some sort of time limit on the challenging. It's bonkers to me sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you get a challenge and it's like something
it's
quick.
A 7-minute match.
It's a 7-minute match, right? And conditioning plays a part. It can play a really big part. But if you have 2 challenges in a match, it turns into a 15, 20-minute ordeal. And let's look at it from the fans' perspective again. Do I want to watch a 20-minute match that there's only seven minutes of action?
Yeah.
No, right? It reminds me of Michigan. Okay, so we're wrestling Michigan down at the Pentagon, right? And it was a really easy, quick call. It's either he was either locking his hands or he wasn't, right? And we challenged it. And it was an Alex match, and he was starting to get Gomez a little tired, right? And looking back on it, it was a horrible mistake on our part. We should just let him wrestle because it was going into the third period. And we thought it was going to be like a 30-second thing. You look at the video. Did he lock his hands? Yes. Okay. 1 point. Did he lock his hands? No. Okay. No. And then we move on. It turned out to be like a 5-minute challenge. And we got to fix that a little bit, right? Like, okay, make a call in 2 minutes. Yes or no, it doesn't matter. Let's move it on.
Right on. Speaking of moving on, what other... Well, okay, I guess I got a couple of questions too.
All right, hit them.
So do we think... It seems to me, even for our team, that we've seen more tech falls now because of that. Do you think that's an outcome?
Okay, so you're asking a good question. So I'm a little torn on this one. So the major and the tech hasn't changed, although we've increased the point total that you can get both on top with 3-point near falls and then also 3-point takedowns. So you would think that they should adjust it, maybe move it from 10 or from 8 to 10. Or I've heard maybe from 15 up to 20. You're asking me, keep it the same. It's still hard to beat somebody by 8 points. It's still hard to beat somebody by 15 points. It was really difficult to go out and tech somebody, right? So I'm okay with it. Also, if you're beating somebody by 15 now, you're probably still going to beat them pretty bad in the past, right? Or vice versa. So I don't think that we need to change that. I'm pro points, right? Let's be exciting. Let's score. Let's have differentials. So it's not, hey, in college wrestling, there's 10 weight classes, right? You win 5, I win 5, now we're tied, right? Because every match is 4-point differential or 2-point differential.
Everybody loves criteria.
Yeah, totally. Right? Yeah, me neither, right? So let's get out there and let's reward people for scoring points. So I don't think we need to change the major. And I don't think we need to change the tech yet.
Well, I was just thinking we got to him faster. It was kind of what I was getting at. But what other rule would you say has brought about the most change so far this year? Like,
one thing we were talking about beforehand was the medical forfeit, right?
Right. So that was the leading question.
Yeah, you led me in there. Okay, so I'll take the bait. Here we go. So one thing. And we got to talking about it because the Bison Open and the Daktronics were down this year, pretty significantly. And the change that they made this year, yeah, in terms of volume of wrestlers, right? So this year at the Bison, there might have been like 60 or 70 guys. And then at the Daktronic, there may be 70 or 80 guys, right? A little bit more, but last year we had like 130, 140 guys at the Daktronics Open. And it was good, and there was wrestling all day, and it was a good event. The issue that we're having is the rule change was, okay, this year, if you medically forfeit and you haven't forfeited in the tournament previously, so your first medical forfeit counts as a loss. Now on the backside, if you've already forfeited, okay, then fair enough, but you still count that as a loss. Now what's happening is that disincentivizes guys to strap up if they're a little banged up, or if they have a seed to protect, or their winning percentage to protect, or because we're wrestling, right? We have the RPI, they have the winning percentage, and then we have the coaches rank. That's how you get to the national tournament. So, and hey, I'm a coach. I totally get it. We're incentivized to get our guys to the national tournament or the best seed in the Big 12, right? Our ultimate goal is to get to the national tournament. So we're going to do things and that we're incentivized to go do. So I totally understand it, but it's having some unforeseen consequences, which is, okay, now I don't want to risk it. I don't want to go to this tournament because if I do get hurt, then it counts as a loss. It hurts my winning percentage. It hurts my RPI, right? So again, this is totally unfounded. This is all speculation on my part. I have no paper that says that this is happening. This is all anecdotal. I feel like this is happening. I talked to other coaches, and they're making similar decisions that we are, which is, he's a little bit banged up. It's probably not worth wrestling at the DAC, for example, right? And for that reason, again, I look at it from the fans' perspective. Fans want to see the best guys out there. Fans want to see, talk about matchups in a duel, the best guys wrestle in the duel. That's what we should be thinking about from a sports perspective and trying to get the best product on the mat. And I understand why we did it too, from the medical side. If I actually get banged up, I don't want it to count as two losses, right? But at the same time, I also don't want coaches to game the system, wrestle the guy into the semis, and then forfeit out and not have to count as a loss at all. So there's no real
Big Ten tournament the last 3 years.
That's exactly why, right? Yeah. So you guys know. I don't have to explain it to you guys, but yes, that's You're exactly. Right. So I think, and it happened 2 years in a row, right, at the Big Ten tournament. There was literally a guy that got to the finals and didn't wrestle a match, and he took second in the Big Tens. Guy forfeited to him. He received a forfeit. I've received another forfeit, and then he forfeited in the finals, and he was second in the Big Tens. It's like, is that what we want?
And I think one match,
not good. That's not good, right? So we have to kind of figure out somewhere in the middle, right, as a sport.
A half a loss.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work either. We'll find out. I mean, Kankel. Put on some sort of mathematical model to find out the exact right answer for this one.
There we go.
Engineers.
What else you guys got for me?
So the season started, and it's been off to a pretty good start. You guys are 6-2 on the year, obviously beat Michigan. Since this is our first podcast of the year with everything getting started here, let's just kind of run through the first 8 duels of the year and everything. The first one you guys had was against DW, Northern State, and Augie, which were all – it's the South Dakota Showdown or whatever, I believe. Really nothing expected there, like – or anything unexpected there happened. We beat DW 46-4, Northern State 33-6, and Augie 37-9. What does that – how do you think that affects the state to put on that duel?
Well, that's kind of why we do it, right? We obviously know all those guys pretty well, the coaching staff. And we're debating. I mean, Marty Mueller, he wrestled here, right? We have a really good relationship with Marty. And we know the guys really well down at Augie. And then Northern has one of our own up there as well. So, you know, in Zeke Andrade. So we communicate with those guys, hey, is this something we want to do? What do you guys think? Get their opinions on it. And yeah, They were about it, right? They were for it, and so were we, and we wanted to put on something that was all South Dakota. And I think it's good, right? We're going to have a little bit of a challenge next year because we're going to have Sioux Falls now. So University of Sioux Falls is adding wrestling this coming year, and we have to figure out. So, you know, four is really easy. You know, you put two mats out there and two teams duel each other, and it's really simple. With that fifth team, we might have to workshop it a little bit. It might change a little bit in the future, exactly how the event is structured. But I think it's good. I think it's a good opportunity for our younger guys, too, to go out there and wrestle some matches in front of their fans. You know, our freshmen can now wrestle up to five times before burning their red shirts, similar to the football rules, which I think has been a positive change for our sport as well. And that happened, 2 years ago. And so we utilized some of those dates with some of our freshmen, some of our incoming guys, and then a lot of our underclassmen get some reps for that. And I think it's good for us. I think it's also good for the state of South Dakota, just to get a bunch of Division I, II, and you know, III wrestling programs in one roof and let them all wrestle.
Yeah, I was at that event. That was a cool event. That was a fun event.
It's a different event, right? Because you got multiple things happen at the same time. It's not just a bunch of Jacks fans, right? You have a lot of Augustana people. You got a lot of Northern people. You got D-Dub that brings up a group. So it's a mixed bag of an event.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, so I got a couple more questions kicking around my head.
Okay.
Sorry, anyone that knows me, I'm like one of the most scatterbrained people you'll ever meet.
I can.
So we're obviously talking about duels a little bit here, and we kind of talked about some medical forfeit stuff. I think this question kind of goes hand in hand here. And I don't know how active on Twitter you are. I'm terminally online, as Chad can attest.
I don't know how you guys have jobs, and I work for the state, so that's saying something.
And
is terminally online, is that a good thing or is that bad thing?
That's a bad thing.
Okay.
But you on have that no note, idea
how many times my phone goes off on a day with three other guys in a group chat. You know, it's just boom, 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 boom. Anyway.
But anyhow, that's been one of the hot topic discussions on wrestling Twitter has been how do we make people care more about duels? And I think this is important. Personally, because if we're going to grow the sport, we're going to bring in more casual fans. If you're taking someone to watch a wrestling event for the first time, the four of us could sit there all day. Got my shirt, went to D1s last year. It was a really damn good time. Four of us will sit in an arena and watch 12 straight hours of wrestling, and it's awesome. We love it. Someone coming for the first time, probably not going to hit, but you take them to a duel, and the team scores a little bit easier to explain, and they can get invested that way. But the bigger teams, now I'm not saying us, I think you and Coach Hahn and the rest of the staff have done a great job of putting emphasis on duels, but a lot of those other bigger programs, they do not care about duels, and you can't really be convinced otherwise. So to kind of wrap up my actual question here, as someone who thinks duels are the best way to grow the sport for the casual fan base, how do we incentivize teams to care about duels?
It's a really good question, right? It really is. It seems like you want me to go off on my rant that I've been going off on the last couple of weeks. So
platform.
Here's my platform. So So we went to the Cheesehead after the Michigan. It seems like you're alluding a little bit to the Michigan duel too, right? So we went to the Cheesehead after the Michigan. I was thinking about that very question. But it's not just that duel.
No.
It's been happening across the country in a lot of different ways. First, let me be very clear. I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more, right? And I want to go back to where I was talking about before, us coaches. And I totally understand why coaches do it. We're incentivized. What is our ultimate goal? Same as our kids, which is to get them to the national tournament and have them have the best national tournament they possibly can, right? There's a lot of ways to get there. And they give us the blueprint. RPI, winning percentage, coaches rank, right? And then they rack and stack them based on that, the top 33 go. Okay. You tell us how the game is played. Now we're going to play the game, right? Yep. But with that being said, I couldn't agree with you more. We need to make duels important for the very reason that you just said, which is we're talking about football and basketball. Those are really entertaining events. You sitting 12 hours in a gym watching wrestling is not the most. I'm a wrestling coach and I'm not entertained by that idea, right? What I want to go to is an event, an hour and a half, one team versus another team, right? Just like you said, it's the perfect. It's, I don't know if it's the perfect, but it's really good in my perspective as a wrestling fan. It is the best event from a entertainment perspective that wrestling has to offer, right? I don't want a casual fan like, hey, come to the Daktronics. It's too long. Hey, come to Las Vegas. It's too long, right? It's multiple day tournament. We have our individual national tournament, which is really good, and wrestling fans love to go to that. But a casual fan, the duel is perfect. It really is. It's done in 90 minutes. There's a break in between. You can go get some concession stuff. You know, it's this team versus that team, and we should make them as important as possible. Because what happens, and I think you're alluding to this a little bit, is if I'm trying to get X, Y, and Z to the national tournament, I'll send up my backup. I'll send out somebody else. But a fan paid money to come watch this match, and I thought this matchup was going to happen, and this one, and this one, and this one. And that's what I was expecting. It's different than my expectations. It's actually less than my expectations, and now I'm displeased.
It's not even so much that as there is anyone that's a big wrestling fan like we are. There is some gamesmanship to, oh, I'll move this kid to steal match points here. I'll move this kid to steal match points here. It's when that kid doesn't even go out there, mm-hmm. and he's completely healthy.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why it happens. Because we want to – I say we, but I think you're right. We rarely, if ever, do this. Because, hey, I was talking to Chad a couple hours ago before we jumped on. There was a time that Utah Valley wasn't going to wrestle us, right, because of COVID. It was back in COVID. It's like, hey, we had a couple COVID things, can't do it. It's like, okay, understood. That night, we got on the phones. The next day, we changed total our competition schedule and our plans and our travel. We got into a couple passenger vans, drove down to Omaha, flew out to Virginia and wrestled two duels. That's what it was like, because that's what Coach believes in. It's important for us to wrestle. It's important for us to get our guys ready. Hey, anytime, any place, we'll make it happen. So I think Coach does a really good job of avoiding some of the things that you're talking about. But from a coach's perspective, they're going to protect their seed, right? Come the Big Ten tournament or Big 12 tournament, they're going to protect their winning percentage. They're going to protect those things. And how the game is currently structured, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if I'm a top five guy to wrestle somebody that is a lower seed than I am or lower ranked than I am and risk losing that match. I think that's wrong. I think that it's not the right thing for our sport. Everybody's talking about growing our sport. We have to realize how you grow a sport or how you grow anything is make it entertaining, baby. Make people want to watch it. And we need to focus on that. We should really focus on the entertainment product of wrestling. I really do believe that. And hey, I'm a wrestling coach, but I'm still going to play the game, right? We're incentivized to get our guys to the national tournament. We should probably revisit that and look at that from a sports perspective.
So we were talking beforehand, and one of the things
did we get sidetracked again?
No.
It's been great.
No, this is, yeah, you're great, man. We got to have you back for sure. All of our wrestling staff is awesome, and we knew that. We just needed to give you a chance to come and maybe talk a little bit, because we don't know if anybody can talk more than Damien, but
it's not possible. It's not possible.
That wasn't the question, but okay. We love it. We love Damien, dude. He's the best podcast interviewee because I can ask one question and just get out of the way. And yeah. I think most podcasts, when I have him on, I get four in and that's all it takes, which is perfect. Everybody loves it. We all love your guys' perspective and it gives us insights that we wouldn't have otherwise. But one of the questions I know we had, and Alex kind of posed this, what are we looking for in recruits these days? You and I talked about that a little bit. Maybe just, I mean, obviously there's got to be you've got to be a good wrestler, but you know, there's more to it than that, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, we kind of brushed over it a little bit. I'll dive a little deeper. First and foremost, when we got here, it was going to be really hard to convince somebody, the best kids in the country, to come to Brookings at that time. Now, a lot has changed in 5 or 6 years, right? Like I just told you, I'm sitting in a $6 million wrestling facility that is literally state of the art. Coach jokes that the biggest problem that we're going to have is, hey, kids, you got to go home. And it looks like I might be at fault a little bit. I got to go home too, right? Like, this place is really nice to be in. It's awesome place for us to do our work, but it's also an awesome place to have our people, our family, right? Our guys are in and out of this place. Our guys were just working out like 20 minutes ago, getting a little extra in on the mats and jumping on the weights and stuff like that, getting extra cardio in. That's exactly what we wanted. We wanted a place where our guys were constantly, all the time. And you have those interactions with your guys, right? Everything is really organic. And then on top of it, if you're constantly in a wrestling room, it's really hard not to get better at wrestling, right? And we're starting to see that. You're talking about being, you know, ranked in the top 10 for the first time ever. I don't think it's any coincidence to see what has happened over the last 5 years. It slowly builds, slowly builds. Now let's talk about the kids that fill this facility, right? As we were discussing, I think where we start and where we've always started is the character piece. Because what we have found over 4 or 5 with COVID turns into 6, sometimes 7 years based on their, you know, medical red shirts and stuff like that. What we've found is, first off, something we already knew, which is wrestling is really tough, right? And if you don't have the character, if you don't have the forthrightness, if you're not going to do what you say you're going to do, if you're not going to put your head down and go to work every single day, the guys that are around in 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years later are the character kids, character kids, character kids, character kids. And if you give us a guy that's decently athletic, that cares about wrestling and has that character piece, which is a really good person and will work hard, we can teach him the wrestling. We can teach them the wrestling over time. And I think if you look up and down our lineup, you've seen that over the 5 or 6 years that Coach has been here, we've been able to develop our guys. We really have. But it starts with the kids themselves, right? They have to want to put in the work and they have to fit into our culture. So, going all the way back to where we started this conversation, which is we're going to do it as a team. And Coach really, really believed in that. And it's been really fun to look back over the half decade we've been at this. And he was right, right? We have done it as a team. And I think we've built our culture around that very theme.
Awesome.
So after we got done with that, then we went to three Big Ten competition duels for us. We wrestled Minnesota. I thought this was the year going in. I think there was some stuff that in the lineup that caused reasons to not do it. But I mean, the highlight of that match had to be, or that duel had to be, Tanner Jordan upsetting McKee finally.
Yeah. You talk about character, right? Like, Tanner Jordan's been with us from the very beginning. It feels like if it wasn't first year, it was the second year. And, he's exactly what I was talking about, right? He's just a gritty kid. We call him a Gremmy, him and Caleb Gross and Clay, right? They're guys that will just work and work and work and work. And they happen to be super, super tough, right? If you watch that match at all, it just came down to toughness. I don't think anybody, including myself, and TJ won't mind me saying this because it's true, and he says it to me, TJ's not going to beat anybody because he's faster or quicker or more talented than they are. He's not the most athletic 25-pounder, which is a field of very athletic kids, right? What he is he's the toughest 25-pounder in the country, and I can guarantee you that. And if you watch that match, he won pure toughness. That's why he won. He won that match out of pure toughness. And he's been closing that gap with McKee. You know, the very first time he might have got pinned or got thrown to his back right away, and it was very lopsided, and then shortened it up a little bit, the Southern Scuffle later that year. Then the next duel, it got tighter. I think the last time they wrestled is just a couple point match. And then, hey, this past year, TJ finally not just caught him, but passed him up. So, yeah, I mean, it couldn't have started better, because let's go to 33. Derek Cardinal beats Tyler Wells, who literally teched him 2 weeks ago, or like 2 weeks prior to that match. I'm going to be honest. I've seen a lot of wrestling. I haven't seen a kid that got teched 2 weeks later go out and win the match. I was utterly impressed. Cardinals made massive jumps. Obviously, you look at his season this year relative to last year, and you talk about progress, right? Cardinal has moved in the right direction and continues to get better and better and better and better. And I'm excited to see where this season ends up. And we start at 25 and we start at 33. With those two starts, you're thinking, wow, this could not have started better. And this is going to be here. We're finally going to knock off the Gophers. Caleb Gross comes in at 41. You guys are alluding to Clay being out, right? Clay is slowly but surely coming back now. He's getting himself back into shape. And, you know, last year it took Clay a little bit of time to get his legs under him a little bit. And this year, the challenge is, of course, it's compressed season. So he started wrestling basically January 1st this year. And Clay, you only got, what is it, 2.5 months? 2.5 months to get yourself back in championship mode. So I think the first week or two was a little bit shaky. And Clay will say that, but he's in a much better place now. He's trusting it now, because he was a little uncertain of where his knee was. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Anybody on our team, there's no one else I'd rather put in the position that Clay is in right now, because I see a comment in Clay, we trust. Me too, right? Me too. I feel the same way. Clay's a guy that's going to put his head down no matter what the adversity is, and he's going to make the best out of it. He's getting healthier now. He's getting back in shape now. We're going to see the best of Clay here in the next 2 months, which is, hey, perfect timing. Now, moving forward in the middle of that Minnesota duel is when we kind of let it slip, right? We had some matches that were very winnable, and hey, we didn't win them this year. But guess what? When you lose a duel, what do you say? Hey, duels don't matter. Duels don't matter, right? So, hey, it didn't matter. When you win a duel, you go, I told you, duels are always important.
Yeah, that's that threw me off there. So we wrestled Nebraska, right? Did you get a chance? Because you were around for that time frame, I believe. Were you around when? Because they had Nash Hutmacher come back and wrestle. Were you around when Nash was coming? I heard he came to campus, you know, and obviously, I think it's pretty obvious to people that are in the know that wrestling's always been his favorite sport. He maybe just got a little too big to wrestle. And now he's back wrestling, which I think is amazing for the sport. And maybe you got a chance to meet him, and maybe you'd care to comment on that in some way. So,
yep. So I know Nash, not as well as Nate Roeder was his coach when he went up to Fargo and wrestled at Fargo, right? So some of those guys know him a little bit better, but Nash is fantastic. He's a really great kid. He honestly is. And I don't know if it matters, but we try to get him here. We did. And we're trying to convince him to play football and wrestle, right? Because this is a place, if you're going to be able to do them both, you can do them here at SDSU. And I don't think that's true with most Power 5 programs, right? I know it looks like he's trying to do it at Nebraska. I don't know exactly what the plan is. I know he's played football for the last, 4 years? I don't know if he's going to play.
1 year left. I think Rule's all for it, because that was kind of a big thing with Rule versus Frost. Obviously, Chase Mason, someone most viewers would be familiar with, is Frost told him no. He said, you're going to play baseball. I don't want you playing football. And Chase Mason probably could have started for that team last year, but that's here nor there.
So then how does that work? Is he going to finish the season and then strap the pads back up and go back out? And
I believe so. Play? I believe he's going to try to put some weight back on. And
he had to have cut. right? I mean,
he was listed at 315 on their football roster. So football coaches lie, 305. It's still a 20-pound cut. I mean,
I was going to say, like, yeah, he was big in high school or shortly after high school, and I don't think he would have made it. So you go to Nebraska, you get on a Power 5 weightlifting program. I don't see how you don't put on weight other than, you know, if you followed Nash on his dad had him on a pretty heavy, heavy weightlifting program, but yeah, it's gotta be a lot of work for a guy like that to cut. And I can't imagine that he had to cut a lot in high school. There's not a lot of big guys that cut, is there?
Nash might have been one of them. He was large. If you saw him in high school, he was big. And you're talking about his dad, Joe, right? Yeah. Joe's not a small man himself.
No.
No. But I have to imagine you go to a place like Nebraska football, you're probably going to put on some pounds, right? I have to imagine that that wasn't easy to go from football. Then like, okay, hey, wrestling wants you. Cut though, whatever, 20, 30, 40 pounds, whatever it was, to get down to weight. I bet that was his biggest challenge. Now let's talk about the wrestling piece. You haven't been on the mat for 4 years, you know? Like, in college isn't high school. I think there's going to be some rust. I think there's going to be a little bit of growing pains there. I'm not saying that he might not be their best guy, but that's challenging, right? It's really, really challenging to play Power 5 football and then try to go and be the wrestling starter. I've seen it happen before. I'm not saying it's not possible.
What's the Iowa kid that's trying to do it?
Oh, Keeter, I think.
Yeah,
that's right.
Keeter. Now, so, Nash, so what's Nash is, if anybody can do it, Keeter's trying to do it at heavyweight too, but
he played linebacker.
He was a linebacker, right? I mean, they're both really, really good. Keeter is really good at both, I guess. I don't know him as a football player, but from the wrestling perspective, he's really solid. But you have to remember, Nash is freakishly solid too. I think he's a two-time Fargo third place winner in freestyle, and obviously he crushed it in South Dakota, and he could be super successful in wrestling if he wanted to. I'm not putting it past him.
So I'm not gonna put words in your mouth, but kinda. You're saying that football shape is maybe different than wrestling shape. I think anybody that's done both sports would agree with that.
Yeah.
Are there football fans listening to this right now? What should I say?
It's just different. Like, how do you explain to somebody that's never wrestled that the short period of a match is more intense than a whole football game?
Chad, what are you talking about? It's only 7 minutes, man. You can do anything for 7 minutes, right?
Exactly. That's my point. Thank you. We got a dude from Montana that always sits on our podcast. Can you talk just a little bit about Avery Allen? I know he's in the room. Good to have him on campus, right?
Avery Allen, absolute joy to have on the team and on campus. Like you said, he is actually going to be strapping up for the first time this weekend. So he'll be heading out. We have a number of guys. So obviously we have our duels. So Friday night, 7 o'clock, we wrestle UNC, not Northern Carolina, but Northern Colorado from Greeley. We got them Friday night, and then Sunday night we have Cal Baptist, believe it or not, which is a Big 12 team, coming in probably Sunday, I think, at 2 p.m. But in between there, on Saturday, we have an open over in Worthington, Minnesota, and we're sending probably 15 of our younger guys. So it'll be the first time that he's going to put the singlet on not necessarily represent us, because he's going to be unattached officially, right? Because it doesn't necessarily count for one of his dates, but he'll be out there and he'll be wrestling with 14, 15 of his comrades.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Yeah. He's going to be good. He's going to be good. We just got to, like any of our freshmen, right? Our younger guys, we got to keep them focused. It's not what's happening right now. It's the future, right? Building the foundation, the future, which a big part is academics, right? For all those younger guys, and kind of going back to what we're talking about before with recruiting and the goal of our program here at SDSU is, and this has been coach's goal from day one, is top 10 in the country athletically and academically, right? So we've been doing our fair share on the academic part. The last 2 years, we've been top 10 in the country on the academic side, which has been solid. Now we need to get that athletic side up there. So, you know, year in and year out, I don't see why we can't do it. Top 10 academically, top 10 athletically, year in, year out.
And maybe this has changed in the last 2 years that I haven't been in Brookings, but academically, we got to give you a round of applause for study table Cam. The guy, you never left that study table when I was in Brookings. I don't know if you do more now or not, but you definitely are always there to help the kids out when they needed the help with that stuff.
Yeah, we adjusted it a little bit, right? There's a lot of places where you just swipe in and swipe out and count your 6 or your 8 or your 10 hours for that week. We made some adjustments where we got more involved personally, us assistant coaches. So Brady and I will kind of do the study halls. And honestly, it's more just keeping guys on track, right? What we found is, especially college A's males, they're not dumb. They're just disorganized and they don't manage their time all that well, right? So if you just get them to write it down and say, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to manage my time and I got this due at these times and these dates, guess what? They do really well. So I think last year we finished with like a 3.45, 3.5, something like that. As a team GPA on average, which is good. But I don't see why we can't be above a 3.5, right? Am I asking too much? You guys tell me. Am I asking too much?
I wasn't a 3.5 student, so you're asking the wrong guy.
Let me tell you, high school is way different than college, and that is the adjustment as a freshman. And there's no, it's like explaining those 7 minutes to somebody that's used to football. There's no way to really explain it unless you've done it.
Yeah, I would agree with you, generally speaking, right? It's all on you, right? All of a sudden, you're in charge of your academic life. Yep. With that being said, we have unbelievable resources, right? Like Liz is just down the hallway from where I'm at right now, and she puts uncountable time into our student athletes on the wrestling team. And then we have tutors available, right? And then we have the SI, and then we have people that will actually get hands-on with some of our guys that might need a little more help. So I agree with you. It's all on you all of a sudden, but it's not, right? There's plenty of resources and there's plenty of support staff there.
For athletes. I was speaking from a non-athlete.
You might be right, sir. Yeah, for athletes.
I mean, there's always places for the non-athletes to get tutored too, but unfortunately, if you choose the 9 over the library, you're probably not going to get tutored the best at the 9.
You'll learn something. Maybe that's cool.
Our student athletes might get a little bit more special care.
Which is great.
It's fine. I mean, they've got more on their plate.
Definitely.
I want to circle back to this next question is maybe brought to you by DraftKings and Brock Golseth.
Brock has a good question here. So
he's talking about filling the portal, and he kind of called out Iowa. And like I said, question brought to you by DraftKings. To be fair to Iowa, they had some unexpected holes to fill in their lineup, but we have not been a portal team here. Can you speak to your, obviously Coach Hahn very involved, but what's our philosophy on the portal? What do we try to avoid it altogether? Kid have to be a good fit. And how do you think it gets talked a lot in other sports, obviously, but how do you think it's affecting wrestling as specifically?
I mean, who heavyweight a portal guy?
Yeah. Well, what's my time limit, right? Like right. Generally speaking, let's
sum it up in 5 sentences.
let's be completely frank. I'm a wrestling coach, and you guys are some wrestling guys, right? But you guys care about some other sports, and Coach Hahn's a wrestling guy, and I talk to just wrestling people, generally speaking. So all of a sudden, my world is wrestling, and I think wrestling is everything, right? But let's be completely honest. All this transfer portal, and you guys are probably going to talk about the NIL and all these type of conversations, it starts with football and basketball, right? That's really where the conversation starts and stops. So what they decide to do is what us other sports are probably going to have to follow with. So I don't know if you know, my opinion or anybody in the wrestling or soccer or any of these, you know, non-revenue generating sports, I don't know if our opinion really matters, but if you're asking my opinion, okay, my opinion is as follows. For us, you're right. The transfer hasn't been, it hasn't been a huge component to what we're trying to do here, in part because we're really focused on our guys, right? That's one thing. To your point, we have had, Chad, we have had some individuals come and join our program here at SDSU. You talk about AJ Nevels, right? You talk about Marco. Huge. Yeah, huge, right? Like there have been individuals that have come to us. Brandon Meredith's on our team right now. There's a number of those that have come to us. And we have lost some guys to the transfer portal too. Those conversations, although not enjoyable, as an assistant coach, and I think I speak for our entire staff, we totally understand when a kid comes to us and goes, "Hey, listen, I've been training with you guys for the last 2 or 3 or whatever years, and I've been working hard and I feel like I've gotten a lot better. I'm doing pretty well in school, but I just don't see a pathway to starting here at SDSU. And I would like to go somewhere else where I think I can start and make the lineup and hopefully make the national tournament." Who are us as assistant coaches or head coaches going to be like, "No, you got to stay"? One, we can't, right? But realistically, I think that we'd feel really terrible if we try to convince those kids, manipulate those kids to stay against their best interests. Now, with that being totally honest, we would love to keep that depth, right? Because we're always going to need guys to step in the lineup at certain times. And who knows? The future is totally unknown on exactly what's going to happen with anybody in our lineup. I mean, obviously we hope it doesn't happen, but any one of our guys could get hurt. And then the next guy steps into that lineup. So depth is always super, super important in a sport like wrestling, just like it is in any sport. When it comes to transfers, we've had some guys come to us and we've had some guys leave. But I think generally speaking, again, this is pure speculation. I have no evidence for it. In terms of guys coming and leaving, I bet we're pretty dang low on that totem pole in terms of where we land in terms of frequency of transfers. And I think the reason is as follows. Goes back to what we're talking about with recruiting. They have to be a perfect fit. They have to fit into our culture really, really, really well. And they have to be a team guy, right? They have to come here and be accepted. And so it's not like you just call them up and they're all of a sudden in your team. They take recruiting trips, right? And they're looking at us and seeing what we have to offer, and they're seeing what our program looks like. And it's a two-way street. We're looking at them too, right? And making sure that they fit in with what we're trying to build here at SDSU. Ultimately, that's a Coach Hahn call, and that's a Coach Hahn decision. But I don't want to speak for him, but I would imagine that his opinion probably fall somewhere in there within the parameters of what I'm talking about. So I don't know. The future's so hard to tell. It seems like the rules are changing like every year. So it's hard for me to tell by you exactly. Yeah, by the month. So if I were to guess, I would guess that we will continue like we have been, which is to be somewhat inward looking at our guys, and less outward looking at the next best thing, right? But there's always exceptions to the rule, and it has to make a whole lot of sense, and that has to be the perfect fit. And for those reasons, yeah, we don't partake as much as maybe some other programs.
So we're not going to be buying any Italians from Oklahoma exotic cars is what
I was waiting for that guy to come up. I was waiting for it. How many fights do we need?
I don't.
You don't have to comment.
I don't foresee. I'm gonna give you a PC answer, but it's gonna have some flesh to it. I don't foresee that conversation being had in our near future. Yeah, that's not the fit that we're talking.
I mean, we talked about character and right. I have my opinions on what that is. And I don't think it falls really in line with what we've been talking about.
I just think that our program looks at wrestling and what we're trying to accomplish very differently than
The ones set, looking at
said individual.
Fair enough.
All that talent. Anyway, Jordan, go ahead, bud.
So then after Nebraska, we rolled into Michigan. It was a sold-out Pentagon I seen. Was that true?
Yeah. So I didn't know what to expect. Honestly, I didn't know what to expect because it's been a number of years since we've competed out of the Pentagon, right? And that's for a number of reasons. One, it's nice to wrestle in Sioux Falls, but it's not Brookings, right? And there's something to be said about wrestling a home duel in Brookings, which is really nice. And we're looking forward to Frost being done. It's been renovated, you know, for a year, maybe a year and a half now. And I think we only got another year maybe to wait until that thing is renovated. It already looks really, really nice. We're excited to get in there and roll some mats out and compete. We actually compete there, you know, in a couple of days. So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, once the construction is completely done, it's going to be really nice. And looking forward to that. But we're down at Pentagon, right? Was it sold out? Yeah, it was sold out, right? And that kind of goes back to what we're talking about. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would assume that one of the reasons it's sold out is they're bringing in Michigan. And it's funny that you just asked the question. You just asked the previous question, and then we're talking about Michigan duel, right? Michigan was one of those teams that has a very different makeup every single year because they have partaken in the transfer portal a little bit more. And then you compare us, right? Two very, very different teams. Extremely different teams. You look at us, we're very blue collar. We're very, we're going to come at you for 7 minutes straight. We're not necessarily the biggest, fastest, and the strongest, but we're going to continue to go and go and go and go. In the long term, we believe that leads to a lot of success. But we get down there, and yeah, there was 3,000 people in the fans because they thought they're going to see this Michigan team versus us. And I like to think that the event went well. I think it was pretty exciting. I think the Sanford people did a really, really good job putting on the event. It was really well organized. It was, the hospitality was fantastic. We got down there in plenty of time. And, the only thing that I think that you could complain about was some of the matchups like we're talking about before, right? You thought we might see TJ versus DiAgostino. We thought you might see Swenson versus Lawan, right? And those just didn't materialize.
We did our part.
What's that?
He said we did our part, and I was going to say
it. Throwing a jab out there.
It had to be a bit different vibe than the Binghamton.
Yeah.
You were there for that, weren't you?
Yeah, so we're – and that must have been the last time that we did it, correct?
I think it was the first time.
Was that the no, it wasn't. And I'll tell you why. Okay. Because the very first time that we went down there, and it was our very first year, and we wrestled Arizona State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they're like, really? Because our first three duels is like Arizona State, who at the time was like top five in the country. Then we go to Minnesota, and they were like seventh in the country. And then we wrestle Oklahoma State. That was like our first three duels. And that was when we had a very young and inexperienced team. And we're like, oof, this is what we got, right? And then you fast forward, and then we wrestled Binghamton, I think the next year. And then I think we took a hiatus, and we didn't wrestle down there until this year.
Yeah. And that guy got hurt. That was kind of a weird
deal. Yeah, Lakin. Lakin hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird deal.
That was a weird deal. So that put a weird feel on the rest of the – anyway. Sorry, go ahead, Jordan. Keep going, bud.
I just want to say that, you know, not only did that duel just mean something big for wrestling, it really brought the national championship home for football too, because we got the tiebreaker now.
So, yeah, there. You're welcome, football.
Title home for the football teams too now.
We do what we can for football. We're always trying.
And as a native Michiganian,
you had to be Michigander, maybe
Michigander. Okay, I don't know. you gotta be happy that you beat Michigan in wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so Michigan's a big name. It's a Big Ten school. Obviously, they're ranked 6th in the country when they came out here to South Dakota and wrestled us. But I know Bormet a little bit, right? And I know their coaching staff a little bit. I like their coaching staff. I think KJ's a great guy. I know Chiarella well. And Bormet, I don't know as well as maybe I hope, but really classy guys, really good guys. But I just don't know the team all that well, right? I've been out of Michigan for a long time. The last time I lived in Michigan was probably 2007 when I graduated from high school. So I haven't spent a lot of time in Michigan. I still have some connections, but it's been a long time since I've been there, right? So I don't know those personnel as well as maybe you would expect. And I guess it's fine, right? Because maybe there have been a little more rivalry and maybe it would have meant a little bit more, but it still meant a lot to us because we're going to strap up and we're going to wrestle whoever they put in front of us. And, just like this weekend, we're going to wrestle UNC and then we're going to wrestle Cal Baptist and we're going to try to put on a show. I mean, that needs to be the narrative, I think, for our program now moving forward is, hey, each and every year, especially these last few years, you know, we've been the team had, I think last year was the first time we had 8 Scholar All-Americans. And the first time that we had 8 qualify for the national tournament this past year, right? Now this year, first time that they're ranked top 10 in the country, which is awesome, right? This also this past year, or this year, I suppose. First time that we've had all 10 guys ranked in the rankings, which is pretty cool. But I think what we, if you just kind of rest on your laurels, then also you get a little complacent, right? You got to look toward the future. We want to be top 10 academically and athletically every year. But then what, right? Then what? I think we have to continue to put points on the board. We have to entertain. Let's put more people in the stands, right? Let's get more guys to the national tournament. Let's get more guys on the podium. Let's get more guys on the top of the podium. I think that's where your eyes have to go. Keep your feet firmly planted on the ground. Absolutely. We're going to be realist. But let's start looking up to the top because that's where we need to go.
Okay. Yeah. Jordan, I think you got some more questions here you wanted to ask. Why don't you head in that direction? I think you got to be unmuted.
So, yes, you said that you haven't been to Michigan since 2007. So I kind of know the story from getting to know you a little bit, but I just want the viewers to know kind of what did you do when you left Cornell after wrestling until you decided to come back to SDSU to be a coach for wrestling?
Yeah, I guess it's not necessarily a traditional path for assistant wrestling coach, so to speak. But I got out into Cornell, which is Ithaca, New York. I was in Ithaca from 2008. Wow, we're getting older here, boys. 2008 to 2015. So almost 8 years I was out there. And I have a bachelor's degree. That's it. I don't have anything more than a bachelor's. You'd think I'd have some sort of professional degree.
You got me beat by a year. What's your degree in?
Just econ.
Oh, I got an engineering degree.
Yeah, see. Yeah, a little humble brag on me.
Oh, yeah, but I was there for,
six, seven.
Most people that go there for 7 years are called doctors. So.
Well, I was one more than you, so almost 8 years, because I graduated in 2012, and then I stayed on, and at the time it was called Finger Lakes Wrestling Club, right? So kind of like we have our Jackrabbit Wrestling Club. But you can't redshirt in the Ivy League. So what we did is we utilized it as a gray shirt, which is kind of like the red shirt. So we would have all the incoming guys. And honestly, about 50% of them would end up going to Cornell. And about 50% of them would go elsewhere. Other Division I's, other Division II's, other Division III's. So it was literally a year where we had 15 to 20 guys and we would train them, right? And it was me and another guy that would train these kids. And it was pretty cool, right? Because you can actually create a team in a short period of time. And then half of those guys would go to Cornell and then the other guys would disperse. So I did that with me and another guy for 3 years. So I guess you could say that's where we started coaching. And then after that, in 2015, I actually moved to Chicago, of all places. And I got into finance and I was on the trading desk for a few years there. And after that, and there's a longer story to that, but let's keep it somewhat brief, right? So then after that, I got back into wrestling, right? Because somewhat longer is one of the guys that I worked with was a West Point grad, right? And we were talking about different options, and he suggested, you know what, Cam, what you should consider is going, taking a look at this opportunity, which is an opportunity to coach at West Point and to see exactly what the military is like. And then you can kind of make your decisions from there. So I took the opportunity while I was there. That's when Coach Hahn gave me the call, and that's how I ended up in South Dakota.
It's one thing that I'm going to say, it's my favorite story to ever tell about you.
Okay.
this just shows the how the person you are with your degree and how good you are with numbers is. When I was traveling with you guys in college, we were at a practice in between two duels, and you told me, you're like, Jordan, get your phone out and start a stopwatch for 5 minutes, let's say, or whatever. And it starts going, and I got to point or 1 second left, and you yelled stop because you had it counted down in your head that perfect.
I'll have to take your word for it. You say I'm good with numbers, but I got zero memory, so I don't remember that happening or not.
Alex, you got another final question here. We should probably let Coach go. He's been on here for an hour, and we surely got to appreciate your time and respect that you have other things going.
No, I think we hit on all the stuff I was interested in asking.
Maybe just touch a little bit. You talk about Finger Lakes. Maybe just talk a little bit about why people here should support JWC.
Please you be know, going to that.
We would like to promote them because we know what that means.
Yeah, so Jackrabbit Wrestling Club is what the JWC stands for, right? So the JWC is our club arm to what we're trying to do here at SDSU. So it's a little bit nuanced in terms of our sport specifically, because our sport has the international styles. You know, you don't have that in football or baseball or, you know, basketball or anything like that, where we have freestyle and Greco. So, and I don't know if our guys like this or not, with wrestling, we really do train year round, right? Our guys are here 11, maybe 12 months a year, because as soon as we get done with March, we give our guys a week, maybe 2 weeks off, and then we bring them back because we got to get ready for our freestyle competition. And that's when our freestyle season really starts. And we'll send our juniors down to Vegas, and we have U23s, and there's a few other open opportunities that we look into. And if they do well at those competitions, then all of a sudden more opportunities open up for our guys. And that's when they can go to world championships. They can, well, world team trials first. They do well there. They go to world championships, Pan Ams, which is the Pan American Championships, and the like, right? So guys that have kind of experienced some of that. Tanner Sloan competed at a world championship for U23s and U20s. Bennett Berge just competed at U20s world championship for the second time in Amman, Jordan this past year. I think the year before that he was in Spain. Sloan was in, I think he was in Estonia. DeVos went down and competed in Mexico for the Pan American Championships. Berge again this past year was down in Chile where he won a Pan American gold. Yeah, all these guys have gone and competed, and they all have done well, right? They're all bringing back world and Pan American medals from these competitions, which is freaking awesome. Those are huge opportunities, and it's huge development for our guys. With that being said, you got to pay for it, right? So that's where the JWC comes in, is they have funded all these trips from a financial standpoint and making sure they can go to Santiago, Chile, making sure they can go to Spain and Bulgaria and Mexico and Guatemala City and North Carolina, right? Stateside and Estonia and, you know, down to Vegas to go compete and in Ohio for U23s. You know, it doesn't happen. And that's where the Jackrabbit Wrestling Club comes in huge, right? We do our golf outing, which is in September. And then that just actually it's going to be in February this year. We're going to have a raffle. So the night before we wrestle NDSU. We're going to have our JWC raffle night, which is you pay $250, and then you and your significant other or whoever you want to bring comes in, and all you can eat food and complimentary drinks. Can't say all you can eat drinks, complimentary drinks for the night. And you walk away with a gift for sure. And then you get a chance to win $10,000. So that's the raffle night that's going to happen coming up here in February. And all those proceeds, we're not shy about it. All those proceeds go right to our guys, right? Because we got to make sure that we give them as many opportunities as possible. And guess what? Our guys don't get better if they don't compete. So, you know, you look at the last 5 or 6 years, and I think, you know, it all adds up, right? It all adds up slowly but surely. We're making progress. And I know Coach Hahn's not going to stop. Coach Hahn, he wants to keep climbing. So that's our mission and that's our goal.
The JWC did just put that flyer out right before we came on too, that Chad just had up for anybody. So if you want to get your tickets, go to the Jackrabbit Wrestling Club's X page now, I guess, or I'm sure it's on Facebook too, or the gojacks.com there.
I forget. Elon Musk changing the world one name at a time. It's no longer Twitter.
Except for he can't change the name of X because Apple won't let it be a single letter in the.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
That's why it's still Twitter.
Okay.
If you go to the URL name or.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. But one last question from me would be, why are you the guy that all the wrestlers don't want to train with? We ask them, and the answer's unanimously, man, I got to wrestle Cam this week.
Probably because it's so enjoyable, if I were to guess. If you're asking me, because it's so much fun to wrestle with me.
Okay.
Is that a fair answer?
Sure.
Yeah, all right.
I just didn't know if you – I'm sure you knew that, but –
So I'm a little bit like a guy like Clay, right? I guess what? I didn't have any success because I was the fastest or the most skilled, right? God knows I didn't have success because I was the strongest. I was probably the weakest dude in 97 my entire career. But the reason I had success is because I'd wrestle hard and I would never stop, right? And those are things that I think are important for our guys, right? It also happens to be somewhat tiring, but our sport is tiring. Like you said, in 7 minutes, you'd be surprised how tired you can get. But oftentimes it's that guy who's willing to do a little bit more, especially in the third period. Hey, oftentimes third period, it's going to come down to a takedown. Are you going to go get it? It's hard, right? But that separates the guys that make it to the national tournament and the guys that don't. It separates the guys at the national tournament when the pressure's on, people are screaming and hollering and you're exhausted. Are you going to go get that third period takedown? And if you do, you might become an All-American because that's what it comes down to, match in and match out. You see those guys that lose, like look at Clay this past year, lost first or second round, whatever it was, second or third round. And then he had a bunch of matches on the way back. Guess what? Clay is a hardy individual and he does really, really well in high pressure situations and he'll go get that third period takedown. And that's
that
the reason
blood round match was awesome.
It's crazy, right? Crazy. Yeah. High pressure, and he gets it done. But that's why you asked me before, is there anybody else you'd want in the situation? No, he's the guy. He's a pressure cooker guy. And that's why he's a two-time All-American.
I got three little comments, things to say here quick before we get to the end. Luncheons every Wednesday at Cubby's. Go support our sponsor, learn some stuff about the wrestling team. All that stuff starts at noon every Wednesday.
Yeah, I got a comment on that. If you can leave whenever you want to, but Coach will probably speak from 12 to 1 o'clock straight without like taking a breath. So if you're looking for information, that's the place to go. I think he does an awesome job, obviously. That's why people come. And he's not shy about the things he says. Like half the time he's up there and he's saying things. He's like, Coach, are we saying that? Or like, are we public about that? Hey, it's his closest friends, right? It's the closest friends of our program. And Coach is very transparent, right? That's the one thing that he's tried to be since he's got here. So if you want to know anything about our program, come on down to Cubby's at noon and he'll let you know. And if he doesn't, afterward. He does Q&A. You can ask any question you want. He'll answer it.
It's probably my, I mean, that's, I know I've tweeted this, but I miss the wrestling rep matches, and I miss my time with Coach during the week since I've moved out of Brookings and not been there no more, because Wednesdays at Cubby's were always fun. I was hoping to get back to one this when I was home for Christmas, but unfortunately that weather played a role in making that one. So
I was checked out. I feel the same way. It's a little bit startling the first time you go, but yeah, everybody will settle in.
My other thing is, if there's any high school coaches or high school wrestlers listening, or clubs for AAU and that kind of stuff, if you get on the website, I don't know who you got to get a hold of or what, but they do free admission to duels. I know a lot of people I talk to don't know that about it. So that's another thing. Get on there and get your kids up there and the team up there and do some team bonding and watch the Jackrabbits wrestle some Big 12 competition.
Yeah, if I could second that, I wholeheartedly support that. It's awesome, right? As long as you fill out the forms or whatever it is, I think it's in Minnesota and Iowa too. Am I right, J-Rock? Yeah, any high school, if you're any high school program in the local area, show up, have the form, free entry for all the kids and yourself. It's awesome. And we want as many people as we can get.
Yeah, for sure. And then my last thing is Northern Colorado on Friday. Me and Chad pretty much did a whole podcast last year after the Northern Colorado duel. We don't need to bring our pitchforks and stuff. The kid is finally kicked off the team.
Is he?
So we don't got to worry about him showing up Friday night to wrestle.
We can take that offline. You want to stay on a couple minutes after, we can talk about that.
Okay. All I can say is, I was wrong when it first came out, because it happened at Southern Scuffle again, right?
It did, yeah.
It did, yeah, at the Southern Scuffle. And I thought, you know what? He's talented. He's pretty dang good. He's a threat in the Big 12 and all those things. And I thought that they'd figure out a way to make it go away. But I was wrong. And you know, somebody else took the other side of my bet or whatever, and they were absolutely right. And that was his last match in college. Potentially, maybe somebody else picks him up, right? But yeah, there was a lot of Twitter outcry over that.
I got in on it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Alex, you got anything left?
No. He's not here. But to piggyback off your Cubby's lunch and stuff, anytime you see Coach Hahn around town, just don't be afraid to talk to him. I've got two quick Coach Hahn stories. Is went down to Tulsa last year, and he went to the event before the finals, and he went, you know, he had a guy in the finals. He was supposed to be focused. He went and shook every person wearing Jackrabbit blue in that bar's hand and said, thank you for coming. Because that's type of guy Coach Hahn is. And in that same vein, Church Easter Sunday this last year, he probably doesn't remember it, but it made my daughter's like whole week. She was being rambunctious in church as always, and he was sitting in the pew behind us and just made funny faces and took a load off me and kept her preoccupied for most church. And I'm appreciative for him for that too. So
yeah, we're pretty lucky to have him, right? And I think our kids feel the same way. He's been instrumental, obviously, here at SDSU for the wrestling program. So
yeah, so if you do want to hang on for just a few minutes afterwards here, we usually end with get jacked on three. So one, two, three.
Get jacked.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, go Jacks.